You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé, listeners. It's the 9th of March, 2005, Wednesday evening. Interesting things going on all over the place, and directions being implemented, trying to get the message out, conflicting with my message. I don't know what to say at certain points of certain situations that come across my mind, and actually there's no real reason to get into it on the air. At this stage of the game, at this stage of this situation in our country and the world, there is certainly a need for many people to come together, and I think they are in a certain respect. They just don't know how to react. I have something from MajorityRights.com that is very, very interesting in connecting of a dot and several dots that I think need to be heard from them, MajorityRights.com. But out of the paper, in the opinion section, there's indications of people being very upset. And I see here from Lowell out of Oklahoma City. This gentleman says, "I fear that the conscience of our nation has been seared, perhaps permanently. Where is the outcry for the deaths and injuries resulting from a war that was wrong from the beginning and is wrong today? Estimates of the deaths of Iraqi civilians are now over 106,000, with nearly 50% of those being children. We now count 35,000 American soldiers wounded and 1,500 dead. Thousands more will return to their homeland with severe emotional and psychological wounds. We have voluntarily set aside the provisions of the Geneva Convention, which may have contributed to the atrocities of Abu Ghraib and those suspected in Guantanamo. Our military recently decimated the city of Fallujah in the name of saving it. Once again, our military recently decimated the city of Fallujah in the name of saving it. Where is the outrage that many of our churches sanction this blatant militarism by calling it a just war? Voices should be raised against corporations that reap profits from war. Great nations do not use their military power to preemptively invade and occupy weaker countries on false pretenses with ever-changing rationales. A nation of destiny should have a tender conscience. Once again, by Lowell out of Oklahoma City. This gentleman is right to a degree, but the whole implementation of this, I'm sorry to say, is the implementation of the UN system, a global governmental system. That's all this is. This has happened over and over in history in the 20th century. The UN system is being strengthened daily. And this is what it's all about. Our military are the shock troops for the UN system, the global governmental system. Rockefeller funded the money to build the UN building in New York City. Rockefeller and Chase Manhattan Bank is one of the Federal Reserve banks representing this country. The dollar's on a decline. I have much information about that. I covered that on the Discount Gold and Silver Hour yesterday that I did for Melody Cedarstrom, of which I went to 2 hours, but the second hour was not heard. So everything I did in the second hour, nobody heard it because they had a snowstorm up there. And so I'm assured that it will be on the Internet next week. Now, some people hopefully listening are very concerned about the sludge and the reproduced foods that are fertilized with human waste. And I'm going to cover that Tuesday again at the beginning of the broadcast. And it will go into the second hour more than likely. But let me connect to this information right here. Let Them Eat Sludge by John C. Stauber and Sheldon Rampton from American Voice last February 2004. Very relevant right now, as it was last year. Connected to Chapter 21, Environmentally Sound Management of Solid Waste and Sewage-Related Issues. It's a 25-page chapter of Agenda 21. And it connects very well to what's going on today. I did not find the information about the situation in the Oklahoma area, however. But this Let Them Eat Sludge is very, very revealing. So next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Central Time, I will cover that again, as in the second hour I did, but no one heard it. So keep in mind, the situation that we have today is planned for. It's being implemented, coming into place. The major primary situation that you need to cover and research is the Secretary of the Treasury in Title 22 of the U.S. Code, Section 286, where the Secretary of the Treasury of this country receives no compensation from the United States. That means he's being paid by the IMF. And that's where we live today. That's what it's all about. Now, there's a group talking about getting out of the United Nations. And MoveAmericaForward.org evidently is that group. And what are they saying? Some great news today as President Bush has announced that he is nominating a prominent UN critic, John Bolton, to serve as U.S. ambassador to the UN. What is this meaning, ultimately? Bolton has led the attack against countless international treaties and has been critical of the UN's failure to address rogue terrorist supporting member states like Iraq and North Korea. It was Bolton who penned the letter to Kofi Annan explaining the UN's top official that the U.S. would not take part in the International Criminal Court. The ICC was a nightmare to those who fight to uphold American sovereignty. How do you have American sovereignty when the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF? That's my question to you. If you want to answer it, I believe you can call in at 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. How do you get out of the United Nations when the Secretary of the Treasury is the governor of the IMF, the U.S. governor of the IMF? How do you change the money system to make all this come to a halt? How is that going to be implemented? Take a quick break. I'll be right back. How does one get out of the UN system when the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF, as every country that's a member of the UN has to have a governor of the IMF? That is the question to be concerned about at this stage of the game, the way I look at it. So this information, they ask how good is Bolton. And consider this statement from the Reuters news agency on Bolton's nomination. Quote, several officials from UN Security Council member states expressed astonishment that Bush would name someone that they believed had a known antipathy towards the United Nations, end quote. And the rest of the story can be read at moveamericaforward.org. It is because of the growing movement to stand up and speak out about the corruption, failures, and anti-Americanism of the UN that Mr. Bush felt like he could name someone like Bolton to stand up against UN officials. In other words, we're going to keep the UN. There's no way of getting out of the UN, in my thoughts, the way things are being engineered today. And that's a sad commentary to have, because this is where it all emanates from. This is where it all goes to. This is where 58,000 died in Vietnam, 54,000 died in Korea. For what? The UN system. Sacrificed. We have soldiers in Korea today, which is going to be another mess in the future. Unless South Korea capitulates and surrenders. We won't allow that to happen. Because the never-ending wars have to continue. And I'm sorry to be this way. I find it very important for you to support Melody Cederstrom. She hasn't received much response from this broadcast she does on Monday night, so she apparently is going to drop. And so I think Darren would be happy to take that Monday night slot, and I guess I'll be back on Tuesday night, starting next week. So if that works with Darren, and, you know, we'll see how it goes as I talk to Darren. Darren is a very important part of this. as I've said before, without him, it'd be very hard to continue. So Darren Weeks and his directions and his information and research is vital to working together. And that's all I've ever wanted to do from the start, is work together with individuals to help restore the constitutional republic that we've never lived under. We've never lived under a constitutional republic. We've lived under a state of national emergency. bypassing the Constitution. And those that don't understand that haven't done any research. They don't look things up. They don't let their curiosity lead them into understanding what's going on. So this information that I keep covering here, the attitude of this country towards the UN is slowly changing and changing for the better. You should feel very good about our efforts to date, but there is much work still to be done. We've been making progress, they say, in making our television ad campaign to get the UN out of the U.S. You've got to be joking. One of the problems we've heard from representatives in Congress and even state government officials is that those who are sympathetic to our message feel like the idea of booting the UN from the U.S. is still not mainstream enough. That's why our television ad campaign is so important. We've got to win over the hearts and minds of Americans. Poll numbers show that the people of this nation are coming our way. Only 37% of Americans now approve of the job of the United Nations. We're trying to launch our latest wave of new television ads that have the tagline, "Get the UN out of the U.S." And as we've reported to you, we need approximately $200,000 to fund these ads. Now, this is a question. Can you trust this organization? Can you trust this organization to do the right thing by you and your money? So far to date, we've raised a little more than $31,000. That's good progress from our fundraising total last time we wrote. Think about the untold billions of dollars spent by the United Nations and their allies in decimating propaganda to mask the failures of the UN. We need to do a lot better than $29,000 to fight back. The time for us to step up our efforts is now, especially with a new nomination for U.S. Ambassador to the UN up for confirmation by the U.S. Senate. MoveAmericaForward.org is the direction. I don't know how ad campaigns are going to work at this stage. I don't know how the American people can have any capacity to change things anyway. This way, by spending money on ad campaigns. For that kind of money, an entire network can be created. An ad campaign is only going to last so long, or a network can last a lot longer. That is very, very important to consider. Where's the money going for this ad campaign? That is very important to consider, people. Here we see from the AFP source, an Army sergeant was given a psychiatric examination and sent out of Iraq after he reported that members of his counterintelligence team in Samarra were abusing prisoners, according to Army investigation documents. The case was contained in a new batch of Army criminal investigation files released in response to a court order obtained as a result of a lawsuit by American Civil Liberties Unions. Other documents detailed investigations into alleged abuses by soldiers, harsh interrogations by soldier operations forces, shooting deaths of prisoners during a riot, and a death in U.S. custody of a prisoner in Abu Ghraib. But the sergeant's case was unusual in that his superior officers responded to his allegations that members of his counterintelligence unit were abusing prisoners by having him examined by a military psychiatrist. The documents show that the commander of the 223rd Military Intelligence Battalion and his executive officer, who had previously led the counterintelligence team, met with psychiatrist after she initially gave the complaining sergeant a clean bill of mental health. Joe from Pennsylvania, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm fine, and you, Joe? Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, Ducky. I just wanted to let you know that I'm still out here, still listening, and still, you know, hoping people pay attention to you, you know?
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Anything else new, period? I mean, is any bad things happening your way right now? I mean, more than what you've read about?
Things are as good as can be expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think the situation in our country continues to deteriorate, and the dumbing down process is maybe turning around a little bit.
I would hope so.
Are you seeing anything going on in your neighborhood? Are you still being harassed with your vehicles?
Oh, yeah. I just got harassed again, and they charged me with contempt of court and all kinds of stuff, you know.
And you're a car collector. See what happens to people that collect automobiles. They turn into refuse for the neighbors, right, Joe?
Well, you know, I mean, the neighbor that started all the, you know, died, and then, you know, then the township did the, came back again anyway and charged me with contempt, and then, you know, so now I'm in a contempt hearing. I was found in contempt, and then I've appealed it, and now I'm also, they sent me three more notices again for things that I've already beat them on, you know, so they're just constantly harassing and stuff. I guess I really have to turn around and sue them soon, you know. I haven't done it yet, but I guess I have to. But,
well, that's a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. How did that guy make you out from Florida? Remember the guy where they...
John Chestdog?
Yes. Have you ever heard from him anymore?
I haven't heard from him at all.
So you don't know what...
I know that he lost everything.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
He lost it all. He lost his property. He lost everything.
Yeah.
And it was under the guise of eminent domain, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, see, most people, you know, in our so-called free country...
Yeah.
Think that they are free, and the problem is they don't realize these things until they happen to them.
Mm-hmm, right.
And, you know, they don't seem to care or anything. I mean, people are just so content with their football games and their big screen TV and their popcorn.
Yeah, and you know, even on the satellite channels, there's lots of violence. There's lots of gross movies on that are propagandizing people.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, that's what, you know, that's the dumbing. Look at all the cop shows that are on TV.
Yes.
I mean, look, they're getting the people ready for a police state.
They're getting people hoping a police state happens.
Well, it's already on its way. I mean, you know, they okayed the national ID card. And,
yes.
You know, people in Texas get arrested for walking their dog if they don't have ID and stuff like that. And so things are getting really kind of screwy.
Well, you know, it's just like the Soviet Union way back when.
Yeah, but you know, I've heard people say the Soviet Union was a lot freer than because they used to live there and they came here and they said, man, we have more freedoms there than we do here.
I believe it.
So that's really pretty bad, you know.
I believe it because of the technology in place today and the you know, the need to take everybody's freedom away. People have a lot more freedom in this country at one time, and so there's a lot of avenues that have to be taken from them, including their freedom to drive. As the price of gasoline is rising, isn't it, Joe?
Yes, I mean, you know, there's rumors that it's going to be like $4 a gallon at least or so or something like that.
They'll do it.
Yeah, that may happen by next year, you know. And
they'll do it. They play the game.
I guess we'll turn into a China. Everybody will have their bicycles.
Well.
And isn't that what they want to do, contain the people?
And the trouble with bicycles are you can't take anything with you.
That's true, but again... They want to contain the people. In other words, you know, they want to know where you're at. You know, you go outside, you do this, you do that, you know. In Philadelphia now, they just put some red light cameras in and stuff like that now.
Yeah.
They never had them there before, but now they have them there now.
Yeah, I see them all over Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, they're not here yet. I mean, but that, and then some high schools, the students have to scan to get into the school. You know, talk about like George Orwell stuff, you know.
Yeah, there you have it.
Anyway, all right. I guess how's all your? I know this is not the place to ask, but how's your vehicles and your?
Oh, they're doing good. I'm happy with them, and I'm certainly glad I didn't let loose of my Lincoln to you.
Are you still have it?
Oh yes.
Are you driving it?
Oh yes.
Well, yes, that's very nice to keep.
I keep it exercised, and I certainly hope nothing goes wrong with it because they're a bear to work on.
No, that one's easy to work on.
Oh, yeah? I tried to do the heater core on it. It was just an impossibility.
Well, the newer ones are a pain in the neck. I mean, because of all the, you know, the computer junk and all that kind of crap that, you know, things that cars don't need, you know.
You've never had a Mark III, though, have you?
No, and that's what you have. I had a Mark IV.
Uh-huh.
My Mark IVs, you know. And they're just a lot easier to work on than the Mark IVs. I mean, you know, more congestion under the hood. more congestion under the dash, what you're talking about. So.
Well, I'm a big proponent of fixing up older cars, for sure.
Oh, my. I mean, you know how your Chevy truck runs very nice, and that has points.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, people should go back to points. That way the technology can't stop their cars either.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good point.
All right. I didn't want to take you off your subject, but I just wanted to call to say that I'm still here listening.
I appreciate that, Joe.
Promote you and you know, stuff like that. But
you still got the same phone number?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Are you still up late at all, or...?
Yeah, occasionally. I might be up tonight for a couple hours, you know.
Well, maybe I'll try and give you a call tonight.
Okay, all right.
I've got to make another phone call, but then I'll try and call you.
All right, then. All right, well, nice talking to you again. And
thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we get into these thoughts about the vehicles, and, you know, they're making it very easy for you to get a new vehicle. Some of these directions allow you to not even make your first payment on a new vehicle for a whole year. Very interesting. But you know, I'm in big favor of restoration of old vehicles. I really am, and I'm very happy that Joe's fighting that battle up there in Pennsylvania. But I thought when we come back from the commercial break, we will deal with MajorityRights.com and their direction at this point. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear what they have to say, because I think it's very, very interesting to connect this dot from MajorityRights.com. Dated March 8th, Italy's foreign minister said Tuesday that American troops killed an Italian intelligence officer in Iraq by accident, but he disputed Washington's version of events, demanding a thorough U.S. investigation of the shooting and that the culprits be punished. Foreign Minister Gianfranco Fini told Parliament that the car carrying the intelligence officer and an ex-hostage to freedom was not speeding and was not ordered to stop by U.S. troops at a checkpoint, contrary to what U.S. officials say. However, he also dismissed allegations that the Friday shooting that killed Nicola Colperi was an ambush, a claim made by the released hostage journalist Gulena Sagrina. Quote, it was an accident, Finney told lawmakers. This does not prevent, in fact, it makes it a duty for the government to demand that lights be shed on the murky issues, that responsibilities be pinpointed, and, where found, that the culprits be punished, end quote. Colperi was shot as the car carrying him and Sagrina, who had been kidnapped February 4th, headed to Baghdad International Airport. Sagrina and another intelligence officer in the car were wounded. The shooting outraged Italy and rekindled questions over its involvement in Iraq, where Premier Silvio Berlusconi sent 3,000 troops, but the government has made it clear it is not considering a withdrawal following Kilpari's killing. You know, this is the whole situation with these kind of wars, and this is why I'm going to get into MajorityRights.com and their information, where they title Most Americans Support Marxist Solutions to National Problems. We don't know who the enemy is in this foreign war, and it was just like Vietnam, just like Korea, just like Iran, just like Syria. Wherever we go, we won't know who the enemy is. We should mind our own business. We should become isolationists, in their words, because at this stage of the game, at this stage of this situation that we live today, America, we are being set up. There's a major setup going on, and that is the big problem. I wish there was a way to make a difference at this stage of the situation that we live. And there might be. We might be making a difference right now. I will return. Thank you.
Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite to Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
What do caves and concrete bridges have in common? It's coming up next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Have you ever been in a cave? If you have, perhaps someone has told you that the rock formations hanging down from the ceiling, called stalactites, are thousands or even tens of thousands of years old. Scientists tell us that stalactites take 100 years on average to grow just 1 inch. But how accurate is this figure? Stalactites grow when water seeps through limestone rock, dissolving the limestone in the process. When this water-containing dissolved limestone emerges from the roof of the cave, it hangs for a moment and, in a current of air, some of this water evaporates, causing the limestone to deposit. Finally, the remaining water drops to the floor of the cave and continues to evaporate and deposit. In Worcester, Ohio, there is a concrete railroad bridge which had one stalactite growing under it that was over 12 inches long. Had the railroad bridge been standing for more than 1,200 years? Obviously not. In fact, the bridge had been cleaned of stalactites only 12 years before. Nor is this situation unusual. More than 300 stalactites were counted growing under bridges in just this one city, and stalactites are not hard to find under concrete bridges in most cities. So we take so many things which evolutionists tell us about the world at face value, even if they contradict the Bible. And before we start taking men's word on faith, we should take what the Creator says in the Bible at face value. He knows much more than all men put together and is to be trusted above all men.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm very happy, very proud to announce that we have a partner, Webmaster, as I just went to my website for the first time today. Oh, yes. Dennis is part of the team now with Darren, working on the website, AmericanExposé.com. And thank you, Dennis. I appreciate it, and I hope we'll have a long relationship together, the three of us. And you can see Dennis's entries on the website for today on AmericanExposé.com and also StopAgenda21.com, the new web address for AmericanExposé.com. StopAgenda21.com puts you right to the Agenda 21 section. So Dennis has introduced here, dated March 5th, highly toxic waste washed onto Somalia's coastline by the December tsunami has spawned illnesses with symptoms like radioactive exposure in villagers along the shore of the shattered African nation. Oh, yes. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that very interesting? As we look here in the paper from January 11th of this year, from the Science Matters section, the Science Health section from the Oklahoman, world's wildlife dying off. The world's biodiversity of plant and animal species is falling at an unprecedented rate, at almost 800 extinctions a year, mainly because of human destruction of wild habitat. Hogwash. A lie. A bold-faced lie. As the indication of a nuclear explosion in the ocean to create this tsunami becomes very relevant right now from the Daily Telegraph that Dennis put up on the website. Listeners. Nick Natil A spokesman for the UN Environment Program, the UNEP, said, quote, there are indications that hazardous waste, radioactive waste, chemical waste, and other substances, and it says in containers, which have been dumped in the Somali coastline, were damaged by the tsunami, end quote. Is that really true? Is that really why it's happened this way? Is that why it's been done? Who dumped these containers? Or was it the result of a nuclear explosion that brought all this about? The UNEP report said Somalia, quote, is one of the least developed countries that received countless shipments of illegal nuclear waste dumped along the coastline, end quote. UN officials said the deadly waves, which originated off Indonesia on December 26, possibly damaged the containers in northern Somalia, so the waste spilled. It then spread further, either by wind or humans causing diseases. So here you live a Hegelian life, and this setup is being even expounded even further, blaming humans for this. Is this really true? Is this really what's going on? Is this really what's happened? And the mess continues. The major mess continues. And this is a very interesting article that you all need to see. Very important to see this. Radiation threat follows tsunami, dated March 5th, 2005, in the Daily Telegraph on the website AmericanExpose.com. Also, tsunami proved biggest war crime in history. Asia tsunami proved greatest war crime in history. Fascinating. Tsunami warning system by end of 2006. Erasing debts in bankruptcy may get harder. Bankruptcy bill on brink of passing. Oh, really? That should be very interesting. You know, if I'd known this was there, this is my show right here, people, and this is the way I've always wanted it to be. And this makes it very, very convenient to do the right thing, having people working with you to do the right thing. For so long, I've been by myself doing this, and it's been such a challenge to keep going. But now with Dennis and Darren and others out there, it's finally coming to the point where we're all working together. I'm not telling anyone what to do. They just do it. That is progress. That is real good progress. So I did open this from the LA Times. A sweeping overhaul of bankruptcy rules long sought by credit card companies and banks seemed poised to become law after two key Senate votes Tuesday. The legislation, a top item in the Republican agenda, would force more people who file for bankruptcy to pay back some of their debts. The GOP appeared to have overcome the final hurdles of the bill's enactment in the Senate's Tuesday vote, one that defeated an abortion-related amendment to the measure and another that set a limit on further debate. The vote paved the way for the bill to pass the Senate as early as today. In the House, GOP leaders have promised to act quickly in the bill if it is sent to them without major amendments, as now appears likely. Great information on the website that I cannot cover. This is an hour broadcast now, and 2 hours Tuesday and Thursday starting this week. So tomorrow I was going to do it, but I have a medical situation I have to take care of tomorrow, a further development from the past medical situation, and so Sam and Trish will be doing the broadcast tomorrow with Melody Cedarstrom, the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour, at 3 p.m. Central Time. That will be Melody Cedarstrom. Very, very important to listen to them. Sam and Trish are tremendous broadcasters, and they make us sighted people look terrible because they have more to overcome to do what they do. And that is very, very important. From the Anti-Communitarian League, and keep in mind, Dennis's information on the website, vital to go look at tonight, and he will be running things the way he sees fit, and I feel good about that, as Darren does what he does as well. And taking a little strain off of Darren is a great asset. So thank you once again, Dennis. from the anti-communitarian website, Hillary Clinton, First Communitarian President, VP of the United States, by Nikki Rapana, dated March 6, 2005. Very, very important for you to read this article. And then you want to check the new Democrat directory. The new Democrats directory. She's done a great job. New Democrats Online, the Democratic Leadership Council's online community. And you will not believe what is there. And there's links to all of them. Nikki Rapana, the number one asset to this website, AmericanExpose.com. So I want to make sure you do this as well. Now, this MajorityRights.com from the Anti-Communitarian League, dated February 27, 2005, most Americans support Marxist solutions to national problems. I am against interventions in other nations' political affairs, just as I am against them meddling in ours. I'm opposed to exporting communitarian political systems, just as I'm opposed to importing them into the U.S. If every political party supports rebuilding the world with communitarian wars and laws, and if every non-governmental organization supports it, and if the TV and papers tell us it's all good, and no one else is complaining, then what's my problem? The United States has troops spread out across the globe. We're actively pursuing a war on terror that nobody can define. Our president uses religious terms to describe our new enemies, who just happen to be followers of Islam or Marx. We have a prominent but little-known Marxist communitarian Zionist former terrorist guru in the White House. His home country has used U.S. tax dollars to sustain an ongoing war with its Islamic former homeowners for 50 years. Now, he says the U.S. military power should be expanded and integrated with the U.N.'s authority. This means somehow Americans must be convinced to accept the U.N. as the highest authority in the world. Americans have never been willing to give up their law for international Marxism before. They pretty much across the board reject the U.N. What on earth could possibly happen now to make them do that? Marxists always had to bear in mind the fact that Americans are born skeptics. That's why the Marxists had to trick everyone into endorsing the antithesis of everything America represents. We're all being tricked into endorsing a global Marxist system of government. President George Bush is openly a communitarian. Many of his staff are communitarian thinkers. Communitarianism is a synthesis in the Marxist dialectic. They count on the fact that Americans don't know what that means. Bush has proposed, implemented, and supported numerous communitarian laws, programs, and wars. If we support Bush, we may know we support violent wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, but we might not know that these are Marxist takeovers. The red states unwittingly also support many new Marxist solutions for America, including redistribution of property, compulsory volunteerism, rebuilding communities, or rebuilding communist communities, a national international ID database, and a central military police organization appointed by the president. The Bush neocons are said to follow Lenin's more harsh and murderous political ideals. Democrats who don't admit their Marxist tendencies are kidding themselves also. Ex-President Bill Clinton and VP Al Gore are openly committed communitarians. The Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC, and its ultimate third way agenda endorses Marxist-induced laws. The blue states could know their leaders created many Marxist solutions for America, including outright confiscation of property and private property, compulsory volunteerism, rebuilding communist communities, a national international ID database, and a central military police organization appointed by the president. The Democrats are said to follow Trotsky's softer face of totalitarian communism, a.k.a. a communism where people are genuinely happy with their slave status. Democratic candidate John Kerry is a liberal internationalist who supports the global system also. Americans are led by the nose into embracing a new world order, no matter which way they turn. Both major political parties elect candidates who support communitarian programs and laws. While our national and state congresses pass the backbone of our new communitarian system, Bush and Kerry supporters push the red versus blue conflict. Sometimes it sounds like they hate each other. Many people on both sides blame the other side for being too stupid to get it. The next logical step in this contrived Hegelian conflict is to push the Democrats over the edge. Gee, if they're mad enough, maybe they'll call for a UN investigation and trial against the Bush for war crimes and or crimes against humanity. That's why I question the validity of this new UN ambassador. What is he going to do, really, people? Thousands of people around the world have called for an international investigation into Bush's war exploits. All groups and individuals who seek justice from the UN's International Court are playing directly into the hands of the global communitarians. Look closely at the mission statements and affiliations of the various individuals and groups who claim to be in opposition with the U.S. foreign or domestic policy. It's a bad sign if they suggest any kind of assistance from the UN. All people have some good ideas and nice things to say, no matter who they are. I use the quote, "there's a little bit of good in the worst of us," end quote, idea. Some Marxist players are fairly obvious to identify. Kucinich, Hillary, McKinney, etc. But others are somewhat harder to see. LaRouche, Nader, and the Libertarians, etc. The bottom line is the UN's International Court of Law is part of the communitarian synthesis. The UN is not based in American legal principles that protect individuals from big government guns. Americans are supposed to forget their own rule of law. Our laws protect every individual person. We are walking into the greatest trap of all time if we seek redress of grievances before an international authority of Marxists. We have the most powerful constitution in the history of the world at our command. We don't need anything but our own restoration of rule of law to get our country back on track. Basically what I've said before. Restoration of our constitutional republic, listeners. Marxist ideas and writers always come before the Marxist program. It took many years before these ideas were presented to Americans. Every Marxist political philosophy taught in the U.S. was introduced and discussed first at the academic level. Communitarianism is still primarily an academic topic that excludes outsiders. The London Fabian Society published several books for us about their ideas for a League of Nations at the turn of the 20th century. The Fabians created the League of Nations to further the goals of international Marxism. Interestingly, Marxist communitarian political ideology stands in stark contrast to Engels and Marx's view of history. Engels said the ideas come first. Marx said the events come first. Good thing Lenin, Trotsky, and Mao came along and rewrote Marx to fit the program. Their program calls for a world government. This is not a hidden agenda, nor is it a conspiracy theory. The Marxist platform has always openly been the destruction of all nations that protect private property. The Marxist platform calls for total control over all people, all production, and all markets. Why? Because they want it for themselves and their buddies. Why do we have to lie and sneak around behind free people's backs? Because unlike every variation of communism in play, the real American system of protecting local trade and merchants while building a healthy, strong balance between agriculture and trade worked pretty good for the little guy. America was built by commoners whose ideals were based in union and trade associations. Our nation of states was basically a version of a craftsman's union. I know I'm not supposed to talk about Freemasonry, but it's real. It looks to me like free and accepted Freemasonry was the spirit behind the American Revolution. If so, secret Freemasonry played a very significant, and I would say honorable, role in U.S. history. But for some reason, we're not allowed to study it or ever mention it. The earliest European guilds looked like they were formed to protect their members from imperialist traders who stole from the locals wherever they landed. Ties between U.S. founders and their French and Prussian coal conspirators is clearly linked to economics and Freemasonry. American revolutionaries formed a union of states, each retaining independence and free will in all areas of life except in areas affecting the whole union. Workers everywhere liked the original American system. They trusted it to be what it said it was. The Marxists, on the other hand, have been caught lying with their hands in the national cookie jars wherever they gain control. There also exists another branch of secret Freemasonry that wasn't quite the same as the free and accepted American version. The U.S. withstood over 100 years of attempts to destroy it from within and without. After World War I, the Marxists made major inroads into the White House and the U.S. Supreme Court, but Soviet leader Lenin discussed the American power that still somehow managed to stay strong in 1929. The American system of protected trade withstood the industry versus agriculture war. It lasted 30 years and culminated in the Great Civil War and World War I-II. Lenin also promised that American financial capital on Wall Street was lighting a fuse underneath their own buildings right before the great stock market crash of 1929. The Great Depression of the 1930s, which, although an admitted accident, was caused by the private Federal Reserve Bank, finally broke through American isolationism. After 20 years of Marxist infiltration and Marxist-induced poverty, a lot of Americans became highly suspicious of the Marxists, and some became very vocal about them. Legitimate congressional investigations into communist organizations were thoroughly discredited after the highly publicized communist witch hunts led by J. Edgar Hoover and the House Committee on Un-American Activities. After that, any anti-communist sentiments were disrespectfully written off as McCarthyism. Americans were taught their Republican system of law is really a democracy of mob rule. Most Americans do not know protecting Fabian socialist Emma Goldman's Marxist union activities is the foundation for establishing the ACLU. Personally, this shocked the hell out of me, and I'm very interested in learning more about union history prior to Marxism. Hardly any Americans know President William McKinley was shot in 1901 by a Fabian who spent time in Chicago with Goldman, or that Goldman was deported as a traitor after the Bolshevik Revolution. While John Dewey was busy improving federal education standards, other Marxist writers wormed their way into public arenas and gained more and more credibility. By 1960, there were no longer any barriers to the Marxist plans in the United States. Communitarian Network President Amente Etizoni's activities in the New World Order projects in 1963 are not even an issue today. All we are to know about him is that he is somehow more moral than the rest of us. Modern-day Marxist rhetoric covers up the sinister realities inherent in Marxist policies, like genocidal murders, starvation, sadism, terrorism, terrorist tribunals, work camps, political murders, poisonings, endless wars, HARP, biometric data, shadow governments, and false accusations of weapons. They gloss it up with lovely, phony phrases like create safe and livable communities, improve quality of life, clean up the environment, save the planet Earth, save the children, bring freedom and democracy, restore order, liberate the oppressed, stop global warming, etc., etc. This is all about rebuilding a global community that shares the same values. Nobody knows exactly what those values are, not even the ones who promote it. It sounds vague and fuzzy and warm. We're lulled by it. They call their modern form of communism community government. So Americans think it's a good thing. They call their communist cops community police. So Americans won't challenge their authority of law. God forbid Americans should ever actually start using their law. They put the whole criminal cabal right out of business. The peace movement was infiltrated by the international Marxists in the 1970s. They called the direct UN intervention in U.S. national affairs in 2001. Thousands of well-known American writers, activists, entertainers, and politicians already signed these anti-war Bush petitions. The idea also has been suggested by several politicians, and now the right has Arnold in California. So if Bush doesn't incite us to riot, maybe Arnie will. Who knows? In the meantime, local Agenda 21 laws are taking out the vital foundations for American strength, once and for all. That is something that should be taken and reprinted, listeners. That is well done. From MajorityRights.com, a partner website on the Anti-Communitarian League, listeners. Very, very well done. Most Americans support Marxist solutions to national problems, dated February 27th, 2005. And I'm sure you heard it well, and I'm sure you understand why I feel it was worth your ears tonight. Print that out, send that out to all your friends and neighbors and relatives that won't listen. That's a great dissertation of where we are today. I couldn't do any better. And that's the whole point of this. Everyone working together to make a difference, not for the community, but for the individual. To restore our constitutional republic, which we've never lived under. That is the key. You know, they want to have a constitutional convention. Why would they want to do that when we've never lived under our constitution before, listeners? Why? That is the point. Be back tomorrow night, God willing. Pray for me and my appointment with the medical community tomorrow. Good night, and God bless you all.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against